الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. Our talks which are carrying on after Asr are about how to make one's roza a fast, a perfect and a complete fast. But just a little bit to interrupt there, we usually on this first day just give a summary of our 20 days talks which we had. But tomorrow is Yawmul Ahad, and tomorrow inshallah we will do it when everyone is here, so we'll just carry on with our talks. However, just very briefly, we say ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba to those people who are really the students of learning, who have come to learn the love of Allah Ta'ala. And our mashayikh, plenty of them have been such that forget the murid giving himself up, sacrificing him for the shaykh. The shaykh sacrifices himself for that murid who is sincere and who wants to learn the love of Allah Ta'ala. That is the real value. A student who becomes hafiz is so noble, you have to put out a red carpet for him. A student who comes to become an alim, you have to put up a double red carpet. And a person for the object of life, the marifat of Allah. So we should take ourselves as students that we have come and to learn the marifat of Allah Ta'ala. And that is the most honorable purpose for which this world is, which Allah Himself has declared in the Quran Sharif. Allah has not created jinn and man illa liya'budun, but for the worship of Allah. And here worship of Allah means the marifat of Allah Ta'ala. And from marifat comes the love of Allah Ta'ala. And once that has been acquired, everything has been acquired. Islah is made, everything is done when we have acquired the marifat of Allah Ta'ala. Also, Maulana Musa, you'll make a few announcements, sir. And then, about how many minutes? So anyway, so the brothers who have come here, you are our personal guests, and with so many, I've got very personal contact. And really, I would have loved that we should stay at home. But itikaf is in the masjid, and besides that, it won't be possible also. But anyway, we are so happy to have you here, and let us all try and fulfill the purpose for which we have come here. And if we have any things that we want to arrange, anything that we need to be sorted out, if it has to do with food matters, then Brother Firoz Kaka is there, speak to him. If it has to do with our allocation of our tents, etc., anything a year, speak to Brother Rashid Kaji. If it has to do with the programs of the day, etc., then speak to Maulana Musa Kaji. And if it has to do about any arrangements outside, like airport or anything like that, speak to Maulana Mansoor. And if you have any complaints, then speak to me. And if you have any praises, speak to whoever you want to. But if you have any complaints of any department, then don't hesitate. Then you come and speak to me, and we will try to make you as comfortable as possible. You also understand and appreciate, but so many brothers, so many temperaments, it's not easy, but we will try our best, inshallah. Anyway, with regard to the keeping of the roza, we mentioned one, the basic roza, which is firstly, there is a great difference between roza and staying hungry. We are not commanded to stay hungry. We are commanded, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, not kutiba alaykum al-ju', that you must stay hungry. It has been made for us for you to stay hungry. For rozas have been made for us. So a roza becomes a roza with niyat, the first, the basic thing. When we make our niyat, and let us try more than just the basic niyat for Allah, we keeping roza, everything we do for Allah. But with this, that we understand that it is Allah's command, and that every command of Allah is only 100% perfection. And with that happiness, we keep this roza. That Allah hasn't made roza for us on us, na'uzu billah, to punish us or to torture us. Or na'uzubillah, it's never like that. Only what was 100% good, through and through good, that Allah Ta'ala has made for us. And the greatest of goodness is in La ilaha illallah. Then afterwards, the farais, there is good, only goodness in there. So anyway, with that in mind, and that it is Allah's command, take it that it is, not just that I'm keeping roza for Allah, that's also sufficient. And in fact, if a person doesn't make niyat, he's getting up for sehri, everything, for roza, still his roza will be made. But roza becomes, niyat is the thing that gives value to every amal. So keep this in mind that Allah has made roza for us. Namaz also, if for example we at home, wherever we start and we go to the masjid, we go and make zuhar and finish, that it's for namaz. But this in mind that Ya Allah, it's your command now, I must make zuhar. And if we train ourselves, which has been come in the hadith, imano wa ihtisaba, that realizing it's the command of Allah Ta'ala, then we will get that enjoyment of fulfilling our duty. That when for lisaim, a person who fasts, farhatan, there are two occasions of great joy. One is indal iftar, when he makes his iftar. What is this enjoyment? That Ya Allah, I managed to fulfill your commandment. After namaz also, that Ya Allah, I managed to fulfill your commandment. If we carry on, we'll see what enjoyment we get in our heart, that we are slaves. We haven't got any capacity whatsoever. And in fact, one enjoyment on this, that Allah, you gave us the tawfiq to fulfill your commandment. And the sign of iman, which has come in the hadith, a mu'min, when he does good, he feels happy about it. And if perchance any wrong was done, he feels sad and perturbed by it. Then how could I have done this? So that we fulfill the commandment of Allah Ta'ala. And then this roza, the basic faraz, which is called a roza according to fiqh, according to shariat, is that a person who abstains from food, drink, and his sexual desires, from sehri till iftar, roza is made, the faraz is done. But to get the benefit of roza, just like if a person buys for 5 rands and sells for 5 rands, he'll be the busiest man in town for 1 day, 2 days, but he'll be the first man to close his business. Because he made no profit, he can't pay his overheads. And tell a businessman, what spurs a businessman on to do business is the profit what he makes. That is what gives him enjoyment, and he's prepared to go through so much of difficulties just because the profit he makes. So if we make profit on our roza, then we will enjoy rozas, then we will understand the hadith that if my ummah knew what rozas are, they wish the whole year must be, the whole life must be rozas. Because if we make profit, then we will. If we don't make profit, then rozas will be like a burden for us. That it is just a matter of keeping hungry, I can't, my normal routine, my food, everything, my sleep, everything is upset. But if we make profit on it, and what is the profit? Which the Quran Sharif has said, in one word, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. You acquire taqwa. You acquire the capability to stay away from sin and to fulfill Allah's commandments. And, or in other words, your islah is made. And a person whose islah, we can understand that from another example, if a person is suffering from any disease or multiple diseases, his eyes are weak, his hearing is bad, he has got bad digestion, he's got high blood pressure, he's got cholesterol, he's got sugar, how many things he's got. But he went for a treatment. Somewhere he found there is treatment. 1 month you go for treatment, you get cured of all your diseases. Now this person who's got all these diseases, he can't see properly, he can't hear properly, he's got Parkinson, his hands are shaking all the time, very violently, everything is wrong with him. And 1 month he gets shifa. How happy won't he be? Next year, without any invitation, he is there first, he'll go back. And he'll pay the money, because there, you get cured, you get very well. Allah gave the whole ummah Ramzan for this cure. And a person who takes the cure, and just very briefly, that we don't cheat while we are doing our treatment. One example, one friend of ours, who was a diabetic, and one time his sugar levels went very high, he had to be hospitalized. And he's monitored in the hospital. They're giving him his medicine properly and checking his food, everything. But his condition defied all medical theories. What all the medicine and what all the monitoring, his sugar level just going up. They just couldn't understand what's wrong with this person. We are looking after him. He's in the hospital, but his sugar levels. Until the nurse found some chocolate wrappers under his pillow. So when he pulls a blanket over, he's eating chocolates inside. So then how can he get treatment? His treatment can't be made. If we are here in the khanqa and forget having a laptop and we're looking at filth in there, we open up the internet of the heart. And this is what more, there aren't so many websites on the internet as what the heart has got. And here we start now and we are around the world and doing what and what, then our treatment is difficult. If we don't cheat, then inshallah treatment will be done. And these treatments are not from the khanqa, not from going in jamaat, not from going hajj, umrah, from umrah or anything else. It's from Allah Ta'ala's side. And Allah has put so many things together for our islah. Our islah have to be done. Allah has put it and Allah has made the arrangement. So to keep a complete roza, inshallah more of that tomorrow if Allah wishes, to complete a basic roza is that we don't eat, drink, and we don't have sexual contact. That is the structure of roza. But when any building structure is done, nobody say the building is complete. We want the finishing. The house is up, the walls are there, the roof is there, everything. But we say tiling is not done, I can't move in. We say the carpets are not in, I can't move in. And somebody is so particular, until the gardening is not done, they say we can't move in. Even the outside gardening must be done. Painting must be complete. So just like that, as we want a complete house, our roza must also be complete. Not just the basic structure. Basic structure, we'll say the house is built, alhamdulillah, my house is done. Why you haven't moved in? No, still some finishing is left. So the finishing of the roza is also important. So the finishing of the roza, one was that we keep the roza of the tongue also. And the second we discussed, roza of the eyes also. And with regard to that, we discussed for a few days and the terrible consequences when a person, his eyes are not under control. His tongue is not under control. Very broadly, if the tongue is not under control and a person, for example, blurts out 3 divorces to his wife, whole life he'll be sorry and he'll cry. Wife will cry. The children will be destroyed just because we did not learn to control the tongue. So Allah has given us, and if a person gets the great honor and the great fruit and benefit of control of the tongue, disanan sidqa, a true tongue, a tongue of truthfulness, he himself will know what enjoyment. And akhlasnahum khalisatan lidhikri diyar. And Allah makes us that our tongue is for zikr of Allah Ta'ala, for the zikr of the akhirat. Then a person will understand just the tongue. One of our diseases get cured, we will see what enjoyment. So the tongue, we have to learn to control it. Then and also in the Ramzan, speak only what is absolutely necessary. Not only, don't speak all what is permissible. Control the tongue. Use it as little as possible. The least we can speak. Only what is absolutely necessary speak. Just like a mu'takif who goes to the toilet and he realizes, while on my way, if I stand 1 second and talk with somebody, my i'tikaf will break. I can't even stand 1 second. While walking I can talk. But he controls his speech very much. Just like that, control the whole Ramzan, even after iftari. The whole Ramzan, control our tongue and see Allah will save us from haram out of Ramzan. The speaking of lies, backbiting, rumor mongering, all the gunas of the tongue, Allah will save us. Swearing. Many people got this terrible habit of swearing, and swearing so bad. Like that they look like farishtas when you see them. But when people bring their reports what they do, you can't believe this is the same person. An accountant, a top accountant can reconcile when his balances are not, when his books are not balancing, Somehow he reconciles it. But yeah, you just can't reconcile this. That person, you can't believe that he speaks such words. Either they lying or either he's lying. He says, I never speak. But what reports we get of some of our friends. So anyway, the tongue, when it comes under control, a person has got a great one. Our Sheikh Damat Barakatum's one beautiful poem, Bari Daulat Mili Usko Jisse Dunya Ki Muhabbat Chhoot Gayi. Even if you haven't still got Akhirat's Muhabbat, even just dunya's muhabbat goes away, you have acquired a great treasure for yourself. So the same way the tongue, if we learn to control it, we have acquired a great treasure. Then we spoke about the eyes, and a person whose eyes, from eyes, families have been destroyed, virtually completely destroyed because of the wrong use of the eyes. Not only one family, two, three families in the process get involved. And that woman's family is destroyed. Our family is destroyed. How many families get destroyed? So the control of the eyes. So in Ramzan, let us control our eyes. We're not going to walk around with closed eyes. We will be walking, but also don't try and get the habit not to look around. Only what is absolutely necessary to see, we see that. And what are the good things? Quran Sharif. So open your eyes wide and look at Quran Sharif. Make tilawat, etc. But besides that, don't look at anything else. And we usually see with our eyes open. But yeah, for example, in atikaf, in the masjid, a person sees more when his eyes are closed. When we go to lie down or to sleep and we close our eyes, then we open up such websites and such filth that we go on to. So how many of our friends still have this weakness in Taraweeh while making namaz? This side, you can't have two websites at the same time. But yeah, in namaz, one side Quran is carrying on, one side you are looking at all filth and dirt, and nobody knows about it. Outwardly, you might be reading loudly Subhanallah and the tasbih also, but inside, what is carrying on? So control the eyes. The eyes, when they are open, also control them. Control them when they are closed also. Then also control. And it's just a matter of a few days, and I'm prepared to write it down and to take qasam on it. Make a little effort, and at night when you lie on bed, you'll have no other website, no other option, but you'll speak directly to Allah. And the enjoyment you'll get speaking to Allah Ta'ala. And Allahu Akbar. Duas of yours, middle of the night, your eyes open, instantly you connected with Allah Ta'ala. At the moment, unfortunately, our thoughts go to all filth and dirt. But it's not, just make this effort for a little while, and then see, inshallah, what Allah Ta'ala will bless us. With regard to the eyes further also, one punishment that has come in the hadith, when we look at lustful gazes looking at other women, etc., and also some people who look at porn and terrible porn and look at filth and dirt on there, then it is narrated that melted lead will be poured into the eyes. Yeah, in this world, if we just have to consider, we can't tolerate one mosquito bite. One mosquito bite is too much for us. And one mosquito is enough to spoil our whole night's sleep. One fly, a fly doesn't even bite, but just it's coming around buzzing and going in the nose and in the ear, it spoils our whole day and our rest and makes us parishan. One fly, one mosquito we can't tolerate. In the qabr, where are we going to tolerate those snakes and the scorpions and the fire and the farishtas of azab? On the day of Qiyamah, where will we to be able to tolerate all that azab? So, yeah, is the time now for us to save ourselves from that azab and from that horrible conditions. In the qabr also, akhirat also, for every person in fact, both his places are reserved. Allah has made a reservation for every person. In Jannat also, everyone's place is reserved, and in Jahannam also, everyone's place is reserved. Now, according to our actions, one gets cancelled and one remains. Like with the travel agent, we make 2-3 bookings. We say, we have to think how and to set our program. Then he phones and he says, now you have to cancel, the time is short now, and we can only keep one booking. The others you have to cancel. So here also, the other bookings get cancelled. It's up to us which one we want to keep. The booking of Jahannam, may Allah protect us. Or we want to keep the booking of Jannat. And we want to cancel the other booking of Jahannam. Or we want to cancel the booking of Jannat. According to our actions, it will be what our bookings will be. And in fact, we won't have to go and cancel it. Just like the computer, within 72 hours or whatever time limit it is set, automatically itself, it cancels the booking. So like that, our booking also, one is going to get cancelled. So we have to see which booking we want to keep, which one we want to cancel. So everyone, and in the qabr also, both places will be shown to the person. According to some riwayat, first for a righteous person, the Jahannam will be showed to him. And it will then be told to him, you saved yourself from this. This booking of yours got cancelled. Then his Jannat will be shown to him. And then he will appreciate it. And much more, after he sees what I got saved from, not only what ni'mat I got, but if not this, what I should have been involved in, I got saved from it, then that will be, and then he will appreciate it much more. And in fact, every person will pass through Jahannam. وَإِمْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Every person will have to pass through. But and one of the reasons here, also the Mufassirin write, so that a person will appreciate Jannat much more. But these people who are going to Jannat, when they pass through Jahannam, Jahannam will have no effect. They'll see what it is. Like for example, it's a very, very cold day. It's cold everywhere, it's cold. But you are in your car, you got your AC on, you are quite warm. You are seeing how people are suffering, how the wind is blowing, that icy wind. You can't see the icy wind, but you can actually feel the blue skies, with that cold blue skies. And you can feel that cold, so to say, but you are warm, you are quite comfortable. You went through the cold, but you didn't feel it. Or it's an extremely hot day, and you can see how the people are suffering in the heat, but you got your AC on in the car. You're not feeling, just little the window opens, you feel the heat. But yeah, you are close, you are very comfortable. Like that, the people of Jannat will pass through, but the effects of, but they will see all that. And then when they get Jannat, how much? Won't they? Like that person who will say that, Hal antum muttali'un. That person will say, I had a friend in dunya, and he told me that you believe in Akhirat. There is Akhirat. He said, I had one friend, he should tell me. He said, you want to see? Then from Jannat, he will see that friend in the middle of Jahannam. And then he will say, Alhamdulillah. Allah saved me. Lucky I didn't listen to him. And lucky I didn't come in his talks and I got absorbed with him. Otherwise, I should be there where he is now. And yet this person will be in Jannat. So anyway, so the azab of Akhirat, for bad nazri, that melted lid will be poured into the eyes. Where can we tolerate it? What? How stupid are we when we are looking at that woman, like Maulana Asadullah Sahib of Saharanpur, Rahmatullah Ali, said this very beautiful poem, that Na dekho in surkh rukho ko zin nahar. Never ever look at those red cheeks and red lips. And those were that cosmetics, that redness there, how he what he compared it with. He said, don't ever look at that haram of other woman. Farho Rabbana qina adab an-nar. Read, O Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam. That red cheeks are not that red cheeks, they're the red fire of Jahannam. So when you are looking at woman and that enjoyment is not that enjoyment. Actually, at that time, lead is being poured into your eyes. And if you getting enjoyment when lead, just a needle, just a, Allahu Akbar, how Allah has made things. But the eye is so small, but it sees the whole mountain. Wow, how big is the mountain? But the whole mountain fits into the eyes. But one bit of that mountain, one reza, one zarra, one bit of it come in the eye, now you can't see anything. So just that one little piece of dust that comes, sometimes something in the eye, you don't know, you're trying so hard. You're washing your eye with water, rose water, everything. But that little itch or something is troubling you. And how it irritates just that little bit. So if lead is poured into the eye, what will be our condition? So we are not looking at those red cheeks, and we're not looking at that figure and all that. Lead is being poured in our eyes. How can a person get enjoyment when lead is being poured into his eyes? So this is a terrible guna which we should save. And to make our roza a complete roza, save ourselves from all, from in Ramzan. Ya no woman, ya alhamdulillah. Ya all grown up people, long beards, long kurtas. So yeah, we can't see all that, but now don't close our eyes and look at all those things. Are the places we open our eyes and look? Yeah, we close our eyes and we see those things. And also with the eyes, another important aspect which was left out, don't look down upon somebody. This will be a subject on its own, but with our eyes, yeah, it happens in i'tikaf. We see one friend, we look down upon him. We know his sister, oh look at him, he came for i'tikaf now. I know what is his condition. His history, ask me his history. How many files I can open on his history? When minute you look down on somebody, you yourself have fallen in the eyes of Allah. And when a person looks he likes himself, oh, today I'm dressed like this. And many of us still, we got this disease that we like to be dressed where, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمَالٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah is beautiful, Allah likes beauty. To wear that ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, and that it is a ni'mat of Allah. And the ulama have written the sign of that, especially for women also. Women in the house for the husband, they don't dress. But when they go out, they dress. So even for men, if you don't dress for yourself, you dress when you're going out, then you are dressing to show people. The sign that you like nice clothes, wear them all the time. Be neat, be nice. Not only when you are in front of other people, then you are wearing it for the people. You like nice clothes, you wear nice clothes all the time. There's no harm with that. But when you wear clothes and you think, oh, I'm smart today. And look at that person, he's got patched clothes, he's got old-fashioned clothes. He hasn't got brand names. Today, if you haven't got Blackberry, Blueberry, you're nothing. If you haven't got brand names of your kurta, women on the burqas, then they are like nothing. They're not counted as anything. So all those things, if we are doing, then we are wearing it also for name. And then that person, you might think I'm smart, but in Allah's eyes, you are sunk into the ground. And you keep on sinking as long as you're thinking that I'm so good. So therefore, this also with the eyes, to look down upon somebody, to think I'm better than somebody. It's not a guna of the eyes, it's lustful gazes also. Guna of the eyes is also to see what Allah has given other people, whether they are non-Muslims or even Muslim people. Allah gave them more wealth, don't be greedy of that wealth. Don't look with a bad eye that I don't know where this money came to this people. That's their problem. Don't we try and make judgments on other people. And then guna looking down upon other people. That is also a very big guna. Also a kabira guna to look down. And yeah, in the khanqa also, right in the haram of Mecca, people sitting right in front of the Kaaba, and there we look down. You go in Jamaat, it can happen there. Anyway, it can happen. And don't look down upon any person. Allah knows only who is where. And every person, you, in order to become a Mr. Somebody, you don't have to push other people down, try and make them low and bad. You make your effort, and you do to please Allah. And in fact, by Allah, man tawadha'a lillah, a person who goes down, humbles himself for Allah's sake, rafa'ahu Allah. Allah Ta'ala makes that person high. And you yourself don't have to make yourself high. Allah will make you high. If you lowered yourself for Allah's sake, Allah will make you high. And وَمَن تَكَبَّرَ, a person who wants to be high himself, وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ, Allah drops that person down. And who Allah picks up, nobody can drop him. And who Allah drops, nobody can pick that person up. It is with Allah. So our matters with Allah. So we should be very, very careful also that we don't look down upon any person. And then the next thing that we have to keep roza about is roza of the ears. Roza of the ears. The ears are not like that. Like the tongue is still under our control. The eyes are our control. And the eyes also, one more thing, Allah Ta'ala has made it such to control the eyes, Allah made it very, very, very easy. Just by the flick of the eye, the eyelid, you bring it down, your eyes are closed. Our Shaykh's one very beautiful poem in this regard, Wo Samne Aaye, when a person who we are not supposed to see, a woman, etc., when they came in front, Wo Samne Aaye, Hum Nabina Hoge. Just close your eyes, you are blind. Wo Samne Se Hat Gaye, when they moved away from the front, Hum Bina Hoge. Your eyes open and you see again. Like, for example, if there is a place which is prone with riotous, lot of riots take place, then those people, shopkeepers, even house owners, they keep shutters on their windows. Because when the rioters come, they throw stones, etc., they break the windows. So if you in such a place and you hear the rioters are coming, then you think also, must I go outside? Maybe before I put the shutters down, they are there and I'll get hurt. Forget them breaking the windows of my shop or my house. They're going to hurt me. They'll stone me. So it takes your time. But this shutters here, and the rioters, this dunya, this woman, the attraction, temptation, are worse than those rioters. So for here, Allah didn't, you don't even have to press a button to pull the eyelid down. Just as the flick of a thought, and your eyelid, you come down. And Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala has made it, if a person is in any place where there is a sandstorm, or not even a sandstorm, whirlwind, or just the wind is blowing, then you are afraid some dust particle might go into my eyes. So automatically every person, they close their eyes also, and on top of that, they will put their hands also on top of their eyes, so that no dust particles must go in. Your eye is definitely so valuable. It must be protected. But wallah, much more than those dust particles, small, small dust particles, is the looking at other women. That destroys your eyes even much more worse. And it destroys your heart also at the same time. Your iman also gets, your whole akhirat can get destroyed with that also. So therefore, how much more mustn't a person protect his eyes? Not only from dust particles, if they are flying, but if we, anything like this, any temptations, any attractions of this haram, then immediately, in fact, do this. Let the world call you stupid. But you are at the airport or some place where now all people are moving, you can't do anything there. So you bend down and fasten your shoelace, even if you haven't got shoelaces. But you just look down and you look for your shoelaces. Until that fitna is gone, then you are safe. One time, Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali at Karachi airport. And in those countries, usually when we go there, we say that in mulko mein, in those countries, India, Pakistan, waha be pardagi hai. Aur in hamari mulko mein, uryani hai. There is only be pardagi, that they don't observe parda, but in our country is nakedness. Women who walk around in this, what kind of clothing they walk around, and with what style they walk around, and especially at like airports and that way, a person must be much more on his guard. There they come dressed in what ways. So a person has to be so careful. On one of our safars, not long ago, we were at Bangkok airport, and our next flight, we were in transit, there was about 3-4 hours. So they got nice reclining chairs where you can rest. So I was resting on one side, up on the opposite side. And it was a quiet area. There then, suddenly, one of these type of people came. And you won't believe it, so dressed, so bad, and came and sleep right in front of me. So there now, in such places, and when nothing happened, we didn't make no comments of anything, nothing, came and sleep right next to me. Like that, practically completely naked. So these, there you have to be much more careful where these places of fitna is. So it's one time when Abrarul Haq Sahib was at Karachi airport, and only be parda women were walking. Not this naked type of woman. But what Maulana told, turn my wheelchair, let me face the wall. The world will say he's a stupid man. What is he facing and looking at the wall? But to save your iman, to save your eyes, at that time, face the wall. Don't worry. Do anything like that. Our iman is much more valuable than what the comments of people are. Let them criticize. Let them say what they want to. Our iman is much more valuable. as we had mentioned, that sometimes because of the guna of the eyes, how many people were deprived of iman at the time of mort, and they went without iman. May Allah protect us. And you can't imagine what that condition is of that person who has to go without iman, the azab in the qabr, at the time of mort, the malakul mort and his farishtas, how they beat up that person in the qabr. What happens on the day? May Allah protect us. So thori der ki lazzat, hamesha ki zillat. Our Shaykh says that you get this little outward, it's not real enjoyment. The minute a person's mizaj is made and he understands, he will understand that there is no enjoyment. Just like a person who gets taste for health food, and in fact a person, zamzam water, everyone doesn't enjoy. But the minute you get a taste for it, you can't drink water besides zamzam. The minute you get taste for Medina khajur, and especially ajwa, other khajur can be so juicy, so big, that it will have no taste. Now you only want Medina khajur, and you only want the ajwa. In fact, the king of khajur, king of fruit is khajur, and the king of khajur is Medina khajur, and the king of Medina khajur is ajwa. Hey, rutab, ajwa. When you get that, you can't anymore put other khajur in your mouth. A person, olive oil doesn't taste nice to every person. But when you get the taste of olive oil, you can't do without it. So just like that, this guna, to stay away from guna, which is like junk food, all this guna. And people are used to it. But the minute you get taste of good food, health food, you won't be able to look at this junk food. Junk food, when you just see it, it will have a reaction in your body. Just by looking at junk food. But until that doesn't happen, you'll die for junk food. So just like that, look for sun, a person will have great taste. But when he get taste for neki, and neki like that is not palatable, enjoyable to every person. But a mu'min, neki, good deeds, he enjoys them. And when he gets a taste for them, then guna, he will just have a natural, he'll detest it. He won't be able to take it at all. So the Allah Ta'ala has not made a button by the knee or on the foot, that when you see a woman, press the button by your knee. Sometimes when we're driving, even your own car, which you are driving for how many years, but you make a mistake with the flicker. You want to put your indicator on, you put the wiper on. You make a mistake, and if it's somebody else's car you're driving, commonly that mistake, some cars got it on the right, some on the left, you make a mistake. So Allah didn't put a flicker that you make a mistake, that a woman is coming in front, and you had to put your, not your wipers on, but you had to put your eyelids down. So Allah just a thought, and your eyelids come down. And when you have made a rough indication that that person is gone, then open your eyes again and see. So Allah, and if it was at the bottom by the toes, and some women are coming from the front. Once we were in Argentina, Peru, I think, or Chile. One person made the awad supper we had. We were going back to the masjid, and there women are very free in those countries. It was after Maghrib. There was lightning on the road and trees, so it was covered. So we were walking on the footpath. And some girls, 3-4 girls, somebody coming from the front. And when they saw us, they started laughing. And they walked in such a way that they blocked our road. That we have to walk into them. If you want to walk, you have to walk into them. So we went off onto the side, and onto the main road we went. So like this, they will come. So at such times now, if to close your eyes, if Allah put a button on your big toe, and you bend down, you'll fall down. And that woman will think, oh, this man is gone head over heels for me. That he fell down for me, and right, he fell down for me. So Allah Ta'ala didn't do that. How kind was, and Allah didn't say also you must become blind. They close your eyes. Allah said, lower your eyes. Lower your gazes. Your eyelids can still be open, and your gazes can. And the truth, you only know how sincere you are. You can pretend and look also, and you can look that you are looking, but you are not looking also. It's in you, and Allah is watching. Meri nazar par unke nazar paas ba rahi. On my eyes, His eyes were watching. On this camera, Allah's camera was on my camera. Afsos, is khabar se be khabar the. What a pity we didn't know that we are being watched. We are always claiming, I'm watching properly, I'm seeing other people, I'm watching what's happening. But remember, you are also being watched. Like in the UK, there they say that average, just normal, your day to day, you'll be caught on the camera 28 times. Just for your normal work which you go about. So many cameras there are. But remember, those cameras are also being watched. And those who are watching those cameras, they are also being watched. If in the Haram of Makkah, in the ladies' areas also there are cameras. And those who are watching those cameras, if they are men, and if they are looking with bad intention, they are there for security. If they are looking for security, or if they are ladies, well and good. But if they are men and they are looking at the woman, they are open in their area. They open themselves up, and those cameras are there. And if they've got bad intentions, then on their, on not only on the eyes are Allah's camera, on their heart is also Allah's camera. Allah is watching with what intention you are looking also. So anyone who is watching the screens for security or anything, Allah's eyes are on your eyes also. And Allah's eyes are on your heart also. So we should be very careful. So the next is about ears. The roza about the ears. Ears we can't close, and we are not asked to put earplugs into the ears, but we are asked to control our ears, what we hear. Amongst the gunas of the ears, which we commonly also fall into, and we think that we haven't done the guna, is backbiting. And as Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh has very rightfully written, backbiting is so common that Hazrat says even the learned and the pious are guilty of it. And what we cover it up with? A relationship of relating facts. Ghibat is facts relation. Hazrat Maulana Qamar al-Zama Sahib Ahmed Barakatum has explained so beautifully that some in Shariat, sometimes to speak the truth is haram. Like when you backbiting, what is, then you're speaking the truth. If it's not the truth, it's a double guna. It's buhtan also, it's a double guna and backbiting. When you're speaking the truth of somebody, that this person did this, this person did that, and it's something that you won't like behind his back, that it is being spoken, that is what is ghibah. So when you speak the truth, so yeah, to speak the truth also is haram. Yeah, you must, and to listen to that truth is also haram. Even if somebody else, the listener, and also remember, a person can only backbite when he has got ears to listen. If nobody is listening, if we are 3-4 people sitting, one person started backbiting, the others got up and walked away, he's not going to carry on talking unless he's a mad person. If you go to the mad hospital, you see all these poor people on their own, they talking, blabbering it away. If you're a mad person, you'll carry on. But if you don't get ears, so the speaker and the listener are equal in this sin. He is an equal accomplice in the sin. And the same guna and that same lead will be poured into his ears also for listening to that ghibat. So our sheikh, this is a very good system which I saw of our sheikh. We also didn't know, and sometimes somebody comes and complains to Hazrat about somebody else. This person did this or he did that. Hazrat, the minute he hears that it's a complaint, he stops you. Okay, just wait. Send somebody else, go and call that person. And now he brings him in front. Now say what you got complain about him. Already 50-75% of what you wanted to talk, without him there you can go to town on the person. But now he's present. Already 50-70 or even more gets already cut out. And now that person gets a fair chance to defend him. Otherwise, Hazrat say, I can get involved in ghibat. If you go to somebody with the hope that he will redress your problem, then it won't be ghibat for him to listen. But just listening to things that this person did this, how, in community, society, it's so common. We just listening to what people, we are also equally. So when that person is there now it's in front of him, so it's no ghibat. Okay. And that person gets a fair chance to defend himself. And now all the trimmings and additions which you had, and the buttering it up, that your argument, all that falls away. Now only the basic argument comes. And the person then explains why he did this, why he has done this, and matters are cleared there and then. You don't have to wait for tomorrow and the next day. This I learned a very great lesson from our Hazrat, which is a very, very beneficial. The minute some, and this one friend of ours says that when we are eating, about eating prawns. Some say ulama, they say some ulama say makruh, others say not makruh, whatever. So he say that is makruh or not makruh. But when you eating, don't eat the imam and the alim of the town. That is when you like you have roast, nice big piece of roast, it comes there and then everyone cuts a piece. When we make ribat, and we make ribat of the alim of the town, the ustads and the imams, then we are making, this is 100% haram. This ghibat, and this happens on the family on meal times. Now the talk comes out, this Maulana did that, that Maulana did that, Imam Sahib did this, and Allahu Akbar. The poison of the meat of ulama is much more worse than the poison of ordinary people. Maulana Ahmad Buzurg is the principal of Dabil Madrasa presently. And his grandfather was also Maulana Ahmad Buzurg. And his grandfather, the founder of the madrasa, he told that a person who makes ghibat of 8 alims, he said, I guarantee you, when you bury the person, his face is turned to Qibla. He said, but just before you leave, when you put the planks or whatever they cover up, look again, you'll see his face is not towards Qibla. Which is a very serious matter, that if the face is not towards Qibla. So the ghibat of ulama, which is also a very common thing, that we backbite about ulama, and sometimes just discussion, we say we're just talking, and we're just we're just joking. But this ghibat of any Muslim, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, that it is eating the flesh of your dead brother. Who can ever think of eating? And when you're hearing it, it is the equal, that guna is equal. You're equally part of that guna when you are listening to the ghibat also. So that is one important thing that we, and that happens everywhere. Whether you are in the khanqa, now we're sitting and we're talking of back home. Those people are doing their things, what they are doing. We are away from home, but we're discussing them here. We are making their ghibat. Or we are talking of somebody in the khanqa, whoever it is, whether the brothers who are in charge, they also are human, they can make mistakes also. We discuss them, and we discuss them in a way which they don't, they wouldn't like if they heard it. That is also ghibat. Or if they discuss any of the mu'takifin, that this person is doing this, and just discussing it for the sake of discuss. Because there's a problem, we must sort it out, that is different. And you are discussing it with people who can sort it out. Not just at random with any person. In fact, I didn't get my answer. If somebody gives me an answer, I asked quite a few muftis to listen to news. How much is it permissible? Because news also talking bad about this minister, that minister stole, that minister did this, that minister all did wrong. And we just listening, we doing nothing about it. We can't do anything. So the badness of that person comes in your heart. This minister, and then still the court case is going to come, alleged this and that. He is charged with this. But whether he has done it or not, that or whatever comes out in court, but just to listen. And for those from here, that is definitely a fact. For whom it is not necessary to listen to news, they shouldn't even listen to news. Many times the news reader is a lady, to listen to her voice. And don't think that is also. In fact, one radio announcer, it's more like a joke, but I don't know if it is the truth in Pakistan. He says one lady used to listen to him all the time, and she fell in love with him, with his voice. And she made contact, they made arrangements, they got married also. And when they got married, then after she should say, and he also, that she should listen to me, and she fell in love with me, and she should just listen. On the radio she can't talk, she's only listening all the time. But after they were married, it wasn't a month also, then she started talking. She said, if I'm only going to listen, no, it's not going to pay. There'll be big problems. So she started talking. This is what happens. At the beginning, the wife comes, she very obliging and very humble. But it's not long, then she starts talking. He got a shock. Oh, she's talking now. And she's talking so much, and what she's talking. So he kept quiet. And she was talking, he was listening. It wasn't long, he realized, if I keep quiet, oh, she's going to sit on my head. I better talk also. So he also and she also talking, both talking. And then the whole muhalla, the whole neighborhood, they were quiet. They listening the whole day. to the tamasha what's happening there. So this is that one person talks, the other person listens. But this voice has got a great effect also on people. Therefore, there is a lot of fitna when a person speaks in a public thing. It becomes a big fitna also. And you have to be very careful. And those who are, so listening to news is not permissible for everyone also. Those who have to listen, who have to know what's happening in, like a mufti, he has to know. If a mufti, what is the present situation? What is the day-to-day talk? What you call it? Current affairs also, and how people talk also. Like today, for example, now for a person, one you say you take a rest. Now they say cool it. All the different words are changing also all the time. Everything the words are. So a mufti has to know all those words, especially in the matters of divorce. And where, for example, a person, it's not only that he says to his parent, to his father, ah, what are the different words of disrespect? All that a mufti has to know. So a person who is in charge, a person who is speaking on deen, a public speaker, he must know what's happening in the public to speak about it. And also when he speaks of certain cases, some people take offense also. He opened our secret. We went and tell him this, but he's not taking anyone's name. And he covers it up. He doesn't speak, just gives you an example. So anyway, everyone, it's not permissible to listen to news also. And if it's a female news reader, and on TV seeing the picture also, how can that be permissible? That can't be permissible in any way whatsoever. So just listening also has got a great effect. Inshallah, we'll carry on. May Allah let us keep our rozas, perfect rozas. For 1 month, Allah said, Ayyama ma'adudat, few days. Keep your rozas a perfect and whole life. You get relieved of your spiritual diseases. You yourself going to, and that is your Eid. When you get that enjoyment, Eid is not the biryani and the family getting together. Eid is when we get relieved of our spiritual diseases. May Allah bless us with this, inshallah.